This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Thing you have to try and do is to try and remain positive.
Where the hell have you been? I hear you cry. This is David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com. Yes, the My Old Man Said podcast is back after being AWOL for a few weeks. Two reasons for that. I've been travelling quite a lot over the last few weeks. I've been abroad a couple of times, three times if you include Scotland. And add to that a bunch of technical difficulties where Dan's sound card on his laptop has been playing up and we've been unable to record because it doesn't recognise the microphone I lent him after two other microphones have burnt out. Add to that some connection difficulties that haven't allowed us to record other guests that we wanted on the show. All up, it's been very frustrating, and the time it takes to make the show, I mean, I won't bore you with the details, it's not good when things don't go right. Anyway, we've got three shows lined up for you in the next week to get back into the swing of things. Dan's also apparently buying a new laptop, so hopefully that will put that issue to bed and we can run a smooth operation. There's two or three notches to go up on this podcast. There's a lot of things that we would love to evolve it into, but you can help by becoming a patron, and it only costs $1 to do that a month. It's dollars because it's an American website, but, what's that, 80 pence a month? It's nothing. It'd be great to get 100 patrons. That would really help the show be regular and also improve. Head over to myoldmansaid.com and check out patrons on the menu bar. If you're using a mobile device, there's a little square on the left, I think it's three lines, which is the menu button. Press that, and then the Patreon option should come up on that menu selection. Right, what's on this show? Well, this show is actually the outtakes of an episode recorded a couple of weeks ago. I didn't quite have enough time to get it out then. So what we've done is taken out all the chat about the last games and just given you the stuff that still stands up. And we'll be discussing things like how Villa essentially waved the white flag on the season at the end of the January transfer window. Well, they went winless for about 9 games in 2017. It's the second season in succession that they've surrendered the season at that point. And for a bit of fun, we'll discuss the responses to Dr. Tony's request of how Villa Park can be improved, the matchday experience, being the focus of that. And we discuss some of the supporter suggestions of things like adult mascots, cheerleaders, ban on swearing, and beer on the terraces. And then over the course of the podcast, we also look at what went wrong this season. Anyway, while we catch up and get back on track, listen up and enjoy. Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, as per usual, Monsieur Dan Rogers of the Villa Underground. How are you, Dan?
Very well. Welcome, everyone.
The reason why we have this little segment at the start where we just talk about other things outside of the Villa universe, in news that we try to relate to Villa, is just to give our minds and our souls just a few minutes rest from the inevitable. So, Mr. David Beckham,
yes,
not too happy, and voicing it in leaked emails, and it's—I don't know—it leaves a little bit of a nasty taste because you just see it's Brand Beckham, and Brand Beckham just wants to make as much money as possible and to be seen as this virtuous Mister and Mister England, Mister and Mrs. England, when you throw his wife in it.
A public figure who's been unmasked as not being all that he seems. This is a shocking revelation, isn't it? You know what?
I mean, of course, some of these emails may be out of context, but I think the main through line suggests to be that caught up. Most of the people I've admired and they've been given a knighthood or what you know, or whatever on, is they've just turned it down and ignored it. I mean, I don't know. But he seems to be desperate for it, almost like it looks like it's been part of the plan.
Maybe it's just the thing that's missing, isn't it? It's the one thing he hasn't got in the locker, or that you can't, money can't necessarily, or can money buy knighthoods? I don't know. But
it can. Come on.
Yeah, well, this is the real world.
it's been buying knighthoods since they came out with knighthoods.
He's suggesting the Queen's got a little book somewhere where she's thinking, right, I'd be £1,000 for that. I'd be backhander.
Although, the Queen should be all right now with the exchange rate being very conducive to visiting England. she won't need to bring in that extra income from knighthoods, allegedly.
Allegedly.
But anyway, how does this relate to Aston Villa?
Who would you award a Villa knighthood to if you could bestow it upon?
There you go. That's a very good link. It's a very
there
good
you
link.
Go. That's a freebie. So who would you bestow a Villa knighthood?
The kind of equivalent of a knighthood would be getting a stand named after you in the world of football. And this is one thing that's always riled me a little bit. In terms of football and tradition and purists, I always think it should come from the football that's on the pitch. So I think it's great that Manchester United have a stand named after Sir Alex Ferguson, and Forest have a stand after Brian Clough, and Watford also Graham Taylor. And I think from a supporter's point of view, kind of that's how you honour. You know, Villa have got Doug Ellis stand, which I think that's wrong because
the infamous birthday gift.
And when people are talking about having a mosaic on the halt of Dr. Tony, I mean, my only reticence to that is it's coming from that same place of honouring owners rather than what's actually on the pitch and supporting the team. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the team, and supporters shouldn't really concern themselves about the owner.
No, well, the heroes and the people who maybe have achieved something at the club, isn't it? You know, it's, I don't wake up in the get excited over the owner particularly.
Yeah, I think you'd give one to Ron Saunders if he'd have stayed on and won the European Cup. If he had that under his, I mean, it's obviously his team, but if he had actually won it as opposed to Tony Barton, when you add together the league title and obviously league cups, then that would have been justification for him to have been more celebrated than perhaps he has been, because obviously he did go off to the Blues. Probably Ron Saunders, because, I mean, these are the best Villa teams in recent times. And, you know, I don't blame Ron Saunders for turning his back on football. I mean, I'm trying to do that myself. But yeah, and modern day, I mean, in terms of players...
Fabian Delph,
maybe. I mean, it's a strange one, because people like, for example, Gareth Barry have had like 10 years, but just the way he left, and, you know, let's put it this way, it's not his fault if he wants improved money and...
No.
But he never won anything, and that's one of the problems. You need to have that picture of you lifting a cup. I mean, Paul McGrath, obviously a hero, and did win something.
Mm-hmm.
But is he that kind of, would you give him a knighthood for that?
Well, we're sort of going all the way back then, aren't we, to saying, well, what's worthy of such a thing? And you're back at 81, aren't you, really, where you start scratching your head and you're perhaps saying, so you're into your Mortimers and your Withs, aren't you?
Yeah.
Before you get into people who could truly be considered, you know,
sure.
Worthy.
Yeah, I mean, if there was one more statue, Aston Villa Statue Commission, I would have it of the 82 team. I mean, that kind of covers all the bases. Anyway, let's move on. Black Sabbath, good old Aston boys and Villa supporters, played their last ever gigs on the 2nd and 4th of February. They will play no more. And it was good to see Mr. Butler's Aston Villa AVFC bass, which was
pretty cool.
I think his guitar tech actually contacted the bass guitar makers as just to do it on the sly as a present for him to commemorate the you know, the last ever tour. So that was quite a nice touch, and yeah, it looked pretty good indeed.
It's pretty impressive that Ozzy Osbourne's still functioning as a human.
It's amazing,
being.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I mean, 68, almost 70, if I've got my age maths right. And, but never mind his age. I mean, that's pretty astounding anyway. But just what he's been through on top of his 68. I mean, probably everything he's done in terms of drink, drugs is probably what's keeping him alive still and functioning. Yeah, it's actually... it keeps his pickled form going. But, I mean, I didn't go to the show, but seems to... been pretty decent in terms of all their pyrotechnics and all that kind of stuff, and people seem to have enjoyed it. I mean, sometimes it's hard. Everybody who goes to a show and on social media will always say it's a great show, but it seemed to be a pretty good send-off anyway. But yeah, I mean, those boys been writing about the Villa ever since they started, you know, with songs like Am I Going Insane on the Sabotage album, End of the Beginning, which could be the song about this new regime.
My favourite one being Fairies Wear Boots.
Who's that referring to? The whole team?
Well, I'll leave that open to interpretation.
Also, Into the Void. That was from the Masters Reality album. That was actually a prediction of what happened last season. A Hand of Doom. That was a song all about Brad Guzan. Anyway, let's move on. Maybe we should do an album of every album of the week. That's related to Villa. I mean, the Joshua Tree and also Black Sabbath's collection seem to be all very poignantly Villa. Right, let's move on to Villa Matters at Large and what's been happening. Well, I think the biggest thing that's happened is almost like Dr. Tony waving the white flag on Twitter, suggesting that the season is over. When he says, as we agreed to make changes in the January window, I personally thought realistically we'd use this season to settle everything and focus next season. And that, you know, that's like we did last season after the January window last season, where we didn't actually buy anybody. This season we bought everybody, and it's the same result. The white flag has come out.
Ah, it must have been folded up in Tom Fox's old desk, wasn't it? He just unfurled it onto the halt end. I don't know what to say. I mean, there's no way. I don't buy it. We smashed crazy money again in January. No one expected the terrible performances. It was classic Villa. It was all too familiar, wasn't it?
Well, you know, what do you think about Dr. Tony coming out with that statement? And he threw out a barrage of statements, and some people get very sensitive on Twitter, even if you mention his name. never mind retweet with an opinion, which I did. And one of them was, don't give pressure too much and let high expectations ruin everything. Brightness comes after the darkest time. Haste makes waste. We were already in a dark time before he turned up. And we're talking about, and this is the one I retweeted, talking about not having too much pressure and having letting high expectations ruin everything. Well, he's the guy that came along saying we're going to be the top three team in the world, Champions League in 5 years, which I understand enthusiasm, but it wasn't said with any intent. It was just an empty gestures that actually put the pressure on. And everybody's giddy on this kind of, you know, optimism. It's a weird feeling to this season that nobody was addressing what was actually in front of them. Everybody was looking ahead and how, you know, this Villa revolution, we were going to be back in the Premier League, but nobody looked at the work in hand. And neither did he, I don't think, because he was thinking at the start, De Matteo, how's this, you know, I need a manager, I can market this club into China and blah, blah, blah. We'll spend this much to get us straight back up. But he was thinking, if you pay if you spend 55 million, you want to try to get up this season. He's not really...
Well, a mistake many men who've owned football clubs have made, of just a bit of blank check, isn't it really?
Well, exactly. There's the bravado at the start. And it, you know, happens with all these guys. They all come in. Everybody loves them because they start splashing the cash. And then it tends to turn nasty because the expectations were risen so high at the start.
He pitched it so high from the beginning, as you said. And I think it's no... It gives us no great pleasure, I suppose, to say I told you so to some degree, but this was always going to be the risk with a PR exercise through his Twitter account, wasn't it? That it's great when things are going well and when you're making signings and when you may be winning football matches, but you know, football fans and to be honest, the media will scrutinise Villa very closely because he's made bold statements, which is great, but you know, some of those statements have not aligned to how things have been on the football pitch as well.
Yeah,
I mean, his statement really around how he sees the season pretty much being a write-off and it begins next year. Well, that stands in complete contrast to what Bruce is saying. Still, you know, he's saying we've still got games to play and points to win, and you know, you couldn't be further apart really in terms of objectives from two of the most important people at the club.
And when it comes down to supporters, you're kind of admitting you're writing it off, and these are the people who would still have to go and pay for their tickets to games which are essentially now, what, pre-season deadwood games? Preparation for next season?
I mean, I can't believe we're having this conversation, really. I think that, and least of all, off the back of what the owner's saying, I think it shows you how this season has been... You know, everyone knew it was a transitional season, and with, you know, the scale of work that was done at Villa, I think we all expected it to be difficult. But other teams have got out of this division with some good planning, you know, Newcastle being one, and arguably they came down with a, inverted commas, better squad.
Yeah.
But, you know, worse teams have been relegated from the Premier League than us and have gone back up.
Sunderland in 2005-06 came down with 15 points, as I keep saying. Went back up the next season, new manager also, as champions.
I mean, I'm not personally bothered that if we do or don't go up this season, but I think that to be at the beginning of the season saying, yeah, this isn't going to be a problem and we're going to be champions of the world in 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Please.
Yeah, no, exactly. And now all the kind of zealots who, because he's retweeted or replied to them once, they think they're best Twitter buddies, now just attack anybody who even questions him. And, you know, that's... we're not attacking him, as some people seem to think, because they can't kind of process a spectrum of responses rather than just negative, positive. In terms of supporting managers and engaging with fans, you know, he's done a terrific job.
Mm.
And some of this, what's happening at Villa, on paper, the money's been spent more than, you know, pretty much, I mean, I don't know in the history of the Championship, but it must be up there as first or second most amount ever, surely.
It's got to be, we've broken a record with Hogan as well, haven't we, with the purchase there?
It's
a championship record.
Well, we keep breaking the records. We broke that with McCormack and Codger.
Who? Ross who?
Forrest's new super... I think it's the guy that's going to take over from Trevor Francis as their striking hero now.
Oh, no.
But anyway, he spent the money. He's on paper, all these players at the time when they were bought, logical, you know, top of the range in terms of championship. In terms of managers, I mean, I wasn't a Mr. Roberto Di Matteo fan, but on paper you saw the kind of logic. Bruce, you know, that's a pragmatic decision. So
yeah.
there's not many steps that he's made that are wrong.
I think it's the constant, you know, the commentary, the constant commentary on Twitter, and I think it leaves him very open for that sort of scrutiny as well. And, you know, you said at the opening of the show that there aren't many owners where you get that with, least of all so many are so accessible, which is great for some of the things that we've mentioned already. You know, we know more about the inner workings of the club than we did before, but do we need to? That's the other thing. It's a difficult place to be in, because I'm sure he craves us to be successful. He's made a significant financial investment.
Well, he needs us to be, for the whole purpose of buying the club. I mean, that's the thing.
But, you know, he's a self-proclaimed supporter of Aston Villa, and welcome to supporting Aston Villa. This is the reality of how things pan out for you, I'm afraid. He'll be starting his own podcast and his own blog soon to lament the things that have befallen him, no doubt.
This is just therapy, folks. This is all this is.
Talking therapy.
Because there's nothing else out there that actually speaks the reality. So we have to do this just so we can actually listen to it ourselves.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There was one tweet he did which he's since taken down, which was where he asked fans for, and I didn't actually see this, you've told me about this, and Chad as well has compiled some of these responses. But when he was talking about planning to locate a new family zone and wanted to make extra, well, it's kind of broken English here, we're trying to make some special activities, good memories to families, any advice, cue... the Villa intelligentsia coming up with corkers like cheerleaders, like Crystal Palace. Adult mascots. What the?
I mean, I can imagine you walking out hand in hand with Nathan Baker. Tommy Elphick on the other side.
WTF.
Crikey.
Adult mascots. I mean... What, dressed up in a full kit? Like some, I don't know, like some, let's say, mid-40s guy, balding, beer belly, holding hands.
You know, it's so bad, I want it to happen.
Holding hands with Nathan Baker.
The thing is, we all know someone who we go to the Villa with or sits in our block who would take that offer up. We know that man. That man. Oh, woman.
Adult mascots. I just want to say it one more time. It's quite funny. Other ideas. Oh, here's one. Ban swearing from the ground.
Yeah, how do we plan on enforcing this? The big giant swear jar at the back of the whole end.
Good luck. People constantly...
Could you imagine the revenue we'd generate if we had
They would make more money than they are already from gate receipts.
Christ.
You'd be able to buy anybody in the transfer window just from the swear jar cash. ban swearing. That's going to be. They should say, yes, we're going to ban swearing. I just want to see how it's going to pan out.
But even people who don't swear day to day swear when they sit down at Villa Park to watch a game of football. It draws something from your inner soul watching us try to interpret. What's this game of football that we invented?
The best way of banning swearing, I've already worked this one out, is to play really good football and win games.
Whoa, that's radical. One step at a time.
Right, what else have we got here? Beer on the terraces. Now, this is actually something that I think the Football Supporters Federation are starting to, let's say, ask the question a bit louder than normal. Mm. It's a progression of treating football fans as human beings. I mean, for example... Yeah. Yeah. Germany, they kind of laugh at the English game just because you can't go to a game and have a pint while you watch it.
It's a couple of strange things and a couple of points I'd make. It's how has it got to the stage where law-abiding citizens can't have a beer at the game? You know, you can't even have a cap on a bottle of Coke. You know, what sort of world do we live in? The other weird thing is you go to Edgbaston, you walk down the road, go to Edgbaston and watch a game of cricket, T20 or something. You can have an absolute skimful in complete sight, you know, jump onto the playing field. It never happens, you know. It's...
Well, I was going to say rugby where you can have a beer, but cricket's even a better example because cricket takes, you know, it's over a course of a whole day.
Whole day.
And you get absolutely steaming. Football's 90 minutes. I mean, I'm sure there's a few listeners out there who can knock back a few pints in 90 minutes, but there's a limit to what you can drink. Well, obviously you're going to drink before the game.
What other sport think of the marketing and everything that goes into beer and selling beer, and this notion that if it's not in sight of the pitch that people, you know, the consumption on the concourse and in the pubs and around the ground. Oh no, but you can't have one at your seat. I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I think to hide behind this notion of, you know, crowd control and blah, 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 you know, and then contradict it with all other sports, that it's absolutely fine. I just treats people like children.
You obviously understand why they've gone down this road. But
I do.
The problem is once you go down this road, nobody likes to review it or you know, even reconsider it. It just stays like it is forever. You know, I'm thinking more that football's changed now. There's a lot of kind of tourists going to the game. There's a reason why the atmosphere is pretty much dead in terms of home atmosphere is because it's a different crowd nowadays, and I think it's a crowd that would be able to drink and not, you know, absolutely go and make an arse of themselves.
Well, I don't think there'd be any more or less drunk people in the ground. That's the point, isn't it?
I don't think so.
You know, just because you have it in a different place doesn't mean people are drinking anymore. And as I say, the flogging booze in the ground, the fact that you can't wander up the steps, you know, onto the terrace, I think is, you know, is beside the point, really.
Right, what else did they say on their comments to Tony? There was something about signing Benteke, bring him home. Well, Benteke, that's an interesting one, because Palace are one of these teams. I mean, to be honest, I want Palace to go down with Big Sam to break his record, and Christian mercenary Benteke to go down as well, because he's not going to play in the Championship. I think he'll go abroad after this move.
Mm-hmm. That's a career that could have gone anywhere for me, and I think he dropped a major clanger going to Liverpool. He really did.
Yeah, I think if he stayed with Villa, we may have stayed up.
Mm.
And then if you got Dr. Tony taking over a Premier League club. Now, would he have taken over a Premier League club? Because I think he got Villa on the cheap, so I don't know how much that was part of the attraction of it, because he was looking at a lot of clubs in the months leading up to it. But Benteke was always a missed opportunity. There was a guy you could have built a team around, and, you know, he stayed with us, and if we had a team around him, then he becomes, you know, our man. And he was the kind of striker you need to, you know, break and make a serious indent in the top six.
His career's in Villa. Obviously missed a trick, but his career's in no man's land, isn't it, really? No?
Yeah, I think the that injury that kept him at the World Cup, a.k.a. shop window, kind of dented his career as well. But also, I mean, look at from the Villa point of view, how much have we spent on strikers now? We've spent more than the money we got back from him, and he's better than all of them.
Oh, but head and shoulders, I mean, one of the most naturally gifted players we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah. Anyway, what else? Safe standing on the halt. Well, hopefully that will happen. I mean, Dr. Tony did talk about having two banks of safe standing. I'm assuming that would be like the wings of the lower halt.
Mm.
And the other thing that seemed to pop up a lot was Wi-Fi in the ground. I think you told me there was some guy who was replying to anybody who suggested there should be Wi-Fi in the ground.
Yeah, I think he was mercilessly going after anyone, telling them that it wasn't a fucking internet cafe, basically, and that they're there to watch football, not browse Facebook. I sort of agree that you don't go to the football for the Wi-Fi, but this is a connected world where wouldn't it be great to get a phone signal in Villa Park anyway? Just about, you know, in an emergency. But yeah, that sort of situation. But I think it's that modernising Villa. I mean, do I go to Villa Park wanting Wi-Fi? No, I don't think anyone does. But it's that, you know, it is that half-time lull or whatever, you know. If Villa Park's going to be a first-class destination to go, that's something that, you know, most people expect to have now, isn't it? Connectivity.
No, and I like, you know, people saying, oh, well, you know, you're going to wait until the team gels together and it'll take time. Well, Forrest, I mean, Guy came on. 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't spend half of the season waiting to gel, did he? He just popped up, put the winner in. Thank you very much. Adios. And Forest are a team that have had they've played about 36 different players this season. So there's lots of excuses that are rolled out.
It's so frustrating. I mean, again, it's classic us, isn't it? That we go to a club where they're, you know, they want to string the chairman up. They have a protest march before the game. We get on top. We score the early goal, and you know, we somehow gift them a way back into the game and a newspaper headline winner. Really,
I mean, some guy, Kez Ferber, if I remember rightly, left a comment which I put on the website as a piece. Call excuses, and he said, you know, essentially that all these excuses about gelling, about players needing to settle, and we're playing these teams that are in worse shape than we are, have spent no money, you know, fans running around with pitchforks trying to get the owners out, and they're still beating us. You know, Cardiff, another team in disarray. Brentford just lost their best player. They were in the old fourth division, current second division a few seasons ago.
Mm.
And, you know, they can still beat us. This is the thing. All these excuses. This league is not this kind of mecca of difficulty. It's just we so haven't got our act together. It's unbelievable. When we've got all the resources, I mean, you know, Dr. Tony put everything in place. So why can't we take all these pieces and put them together?
That is the...
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre because I suppose we've, you know, this has always been a question that I've had throughout my time following Villa. Given our, you know, there's no denying the size of our fan base and the fact that Villa were in the, you know, in the Premier League through times of plenty, and you know how we weren't managing to even compete at the top end of the Premier League still baffles me, with all the resource that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, you can point to all of the waste, and that's a continuing theme, isn't it? It's no different to the waste under O'Neill, the waste under, you know, the austerity under previous managers, and then the waste under Di Matteo, because you can't say much of it represents value for money, can you? You know, the simple things aren't done very well still, and it's, you know, it was in Bruce's post-match interview again. We've got to start doing the basics right. And football, a bit of a broken record time here, football isn't complicated.
Oh, right. I was just waiting for you to say that before I wrapped up the show. It's a simple game.
It's a simple game.
It's always the message of every podcast episode. We're trying to ram it home. It's simple. All these tin pot teams with their...
pub teams.
All these pub teams, tin pot teams that were, you know, in the non-league about five seasons ago, the ones that are beating us now, they've got bigger issues. They've got no resources. They've got managers who probably aren't even getting paid money, but they still beat us.
We're a club that can still... I mean, take Hogan. We, you know, he was sat in our car park whilst Brentford were beating us 3-0 and still wanted to join us. You know, that tells you about the lure of playing for Aston Villa, and despite all that's gone before it, we can still do that.
Because we pay well, that's why.
Well, it's about the only thing we got in our favour.
He's sitting in the car park getting paid for sitting in the car park, so he's happy.
That's a gig I wouldn't mind, to be honest.
Well, this is the final point I'm thinking. Do these players, and I'm talking more, well, I think it's probably relevant to last season as well. We got these French league players in, and we suddenly were paying them twice, three times what they were getting in France. Mm-hmm. Same scenario here with these championship players. For example, Hourihan, you know, allegedly getting quadruple his wages. Does that suddenly take the fire out of the belly?
Well, this is something we've discussed before, isn't it? That
yeah, because you know, hey ho, there was when I say fire in the belly, there wasn't even a flicker last season, and now I don't know. Does it take the edge off? Because, and I'm interested to see, you know, how Lansbury's and Hourihan pan out, because we know what kind of players they are pre-Villa. Mm. You know, will they continue now they're a little bit more wealthier?
Well, I know our opinions differ on this to some degree, that I do think that players at the top end of the professional game, by and large, want to progress and for us as fans, what that represents now is, you know, if a Lansbury has a fantastic season, or you know, or any one of the new signings really, you know, is Villa a springboard to a, you know, a different or greater career opportunity, by which I mean winning things, you know, it's the Fabian Delph syndrome, isn't it? You know, with Hourihan, he's got international aspirations apparently. So, you know, I don't foresee him wanting to rest on his laurels. But I do also, the bit I do agree with you on is it's incredible wealth and it's motivation. And you look no further than the Agbonlahors of this world, really. That, you know, you look at how that group of players, particularly from Agbonlahors and the O'Neill era, you know, your Ashley Youngs go on to Man United and Wynton Milners go on to win, you know, Premier Leagues and trophies, whereas your Agbonlahors were never motivated to do so. Is that too dangerous for me to say that? That actually he could stay at Villa Park and be Mr. Aston Villa without really achieving a fat lot?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think it's just a Villa problem. It's across, you know, it's
no,
kind of
no,
across,
but within
across
the confines
the
of
yeah.
Villa.
Yeah. Right, anyway.
I'd hate for that to happen. Yeah, sorry.
No, I was just about to say that's it. I can't. It's time. I think it's time to go, people. Don't forget to tell your friends about the podcast if they want a dose of real Villa talk.
Real Villa. Talking therapy, that's how you should definitely market
talking
it.
Talking therapy, yes. But is it good therapy? We're just getting it out. Is it a cleansing process? I don't know.
I feel a lot better for it.
Is it a reminder of our nightmares?
You're suggesting we're reliving them. Yeah.
In conclusion, it's a strange thing because everything is in place and Twitterati people, I haven't actually bagged out Dr. Tony on Twitter at all, so I don't understand what the situation is there, but I have asked questions. Because my point of view is he's done, apart from the Di Matteo thing, which I suppose obviously is, there's still repercussions now if we are having to loan out £22 million worth of the £55 million worth we got in the summer, which is, I mean, that's pretty farcical when you look at it in isolation. Mm. But in terms of providing the managers and the team with the, you know, the players, if you're marking him out of 10, you'd give him a 9 out of 10. So there's nothing wrong there. So there is this missing link of when we haven't got a team, and Bruce knows all the problems. And, you know, from that meeting with him, there's, you know, nothing he didn't know.
Mm.
And, you know, he would tell you more that was wrong with the team, which, you know, we agreed with. But why isn't anybody fixing it? Why aren't we just putting out 11 players who want to win a game and win it? Because football is a simple game. Right, anyway, don't forget to subscribe, tell your friends, spread the word. And until next time, it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye, Villa fans.
My old man said...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.